Okay, so what I would like to dive into today, and like I said, obviously we can't get into all the meaning, but we can, from Scripture, we can dive into some of these things. And then at the end of all this, I'm going to tie all these seven together, hope to do that. Because as I'm putting these together and working with this, I'm seeing, like, wow, how they work in succession with one another, with our calling. So today the title is, my God, why have you forsaken me? So we're going to examine this fourth statement that Jesus Christ made while hanging on the stake just before he died. And we went into, you know, him being marred more than any other man. You know, we went into the Scriptures where his bones were staring at him. His bones were out of joint. We talked about the evil of the individuals who had done this to him, and being influenced by Satan and not wanting to surrender their will to hear the words of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ didn't come in here to tell them, you know, he was a loving, he created them. He's trying to tell them, hey, stop cheating people. Stop taking advantage of others. You know, start teaching the truth. They didn't like to hear that. They did not want to hear that. They were stuck on their own traditions. They were stuck on their own traditions. And they thought that that was law. And they didn't dig deep into it. What is this tradition that we say that Jesus Christ is breaking? Well, when did that come into effect? Where is that in Scripture? Show me that in Scripture, that Jesus Christ was breaking the law. Though that was your tradition. That's what you made up. And that's what you put in the law. And that's what you're following. And so when he was obeying God, he was breaking their traditions. And they couldn't see it. So, in Matthew 27, verse 45, let's start there. Matthew 27, and you could also pick this up in Mark and Luke, also in John. Okay? But here, Jesus Christ is on the stake. This is on a Wednesday. You can trace this back. It was on a Wednesday. The Sabbath, High Holy Day, was coming on that evening. You can trace that back. It was going to be the first day of unleavened bread. So you can trace 3 days and three nights, the resurrection. But he says, from the sixth hour, noon, until the ninth hour, about 3 p.m. in the afternoon, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice. And I'll read it in English. My God, why have you forsaken me? And then verse 47, some of those who stood there, when they heard that, they said, this man is calling for Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on the reed and offered it him to drink. The rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him. Now, the word forsaken, you go into the Greek, what it was originally written in, it does mean to abandon, does mean to desert, it does mean to leave helpless. And Jesus Christ is saying, God, why are you abandoning me? Why are you leaving me helpless? Why have you deserted me? So this statement, when we look at it, on the surface, it can be, is it one of doubt? We look at this. Is Jesus Christ doubting God? Is he fearful? Is it one of rejection? No, it is not. God would not abandon Jesus Christ, who was God, John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, in the beginning, no, the Word was with God, the Word was God, all things were created through Jesus Christ. In the beginning, the Word was God. I'm paraphrasing verse 2. You can turn that, but we know that area of Scripture. We see in Scripture that he always did his Father's will. He says, I did not come to do my will, I came to do my Father's will. We see that in Scripture many times. I'll give you one Scripture, John 5:30. And it also says in Scripture that God never sinned, that Jesus Christ also, who is God in the human flesh, also did not sin, Hebrews 4:15. As a reference there. We'll go back and read that towards the end of the sermon. So we see that through these writers' words that Jesus Christ is very intense because he says it again. In verse 50, and Jesus Christ cried out again with a loud voice, and then he died. That was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the ninth hour. My God, why have you forsaken me? What was Jesus Christ saying? And how does this apply to you and me? That's what we're going to look at today. Let's turn over to Psalm chapter 22 and get a little bit of background here. Psalm chapter 22. You can go through, there are a number. I can't remember it's over what the number was of prophecies that were predicted in the Old Testament that came true in the New Testament, but it's a large number. Yeah, I can't remember if it was over 1,000 or something, but off the top of my head, I can't remember. But anyway, Psalm chapter 22, David uses those same words. He says, Psalm 22, verse 1, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? As David is praying to God. Why are you so far from helping me? And from the words of my groaning. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you don't hear me. And in the night season, and I'm not silent, I'm still crying out to you. So you are holy and enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. Yes, some of them did. Okay. They trusted in and you delivered them. Those when they did, God did deliver them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and you were not ashamed. Okay. And from, we read some of these verses that I'm going to read just a little bit right now last week. But I'm a worm and I'm not a man. I'm a reproach of men and despised by people. You know, David maybe felt that too, but he's actually be inspired to what Jesus Christ is going to be going through. All those who see me, they ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. I mean, they're just so easy to be disrespectful to Jesus Christ. They shoot out the lip. They shake their head and saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him since he delights in him. So, we can go back to Matthew chapter 27, and then we see, I'm just going to start in verse 38. It says, the two robbers were crucified with him. We talked about that. One on the right and one on the other side. And those who passed by, as Jesus Christ was on the stake, they blasphemed him, weighing their heads, just like we read in Psalm 22, and saying, you who destroyed the temple and built it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priests also mocking with the scribes and the elders, saying, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. Yeah, would they really? They saw all the miracles Jesus Christ did. They never believed him. They actually had Nicodemus come out and say, you know, we do know that you are from God. They did that at night, but they still didn't want to obey. Most of them still did not want to obey. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. And then we see even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing, just before the other one had repented. So he is rejected. He's rejected by mankind. We do have some individuals who did not reject him at that time. Steve Kennedy was talking to me last week about in Psalm 22, verse 1, my God, you know, why have you forsaken me? We see that in the Old Testament. We see that in the New Testament. We know that Jesus Christ and his disciples sang a hymn after the new Passover symbols were instituted. We do not know what that hymn was, at least from, I've not been able to find out what it is, but some people say, well, maybe this, they sing what this hymn, a part of what this hymn was, but we're not sure. But we will know through Scripture what Jesus Christ was referring to. And my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, we know that Jesus Christ always did the will of the Father. We know Jesus Christ never sinned. So we got to ask the question, why did God forsake Jesus Christ? Why was Jesus Christ, you know, just, that was on his mind just before he died, saying those words, my God, why have you forsaken me, for everyone to hear? And we see in Scripture, they say, why? God has forsaken you. God has forsaken you. And they just, you know, you think you're the Son of God, right? If he would have came out down off that cross, he would not be our Savior. Mankind does not understand that. They didn't understand that. They didn't understand what Jesus Christ was coming to do. So we'll dig into that. We see that the people here are mocking him. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, 2 Corinthians 5:21, in regards to that him never sinning, says, for he made him, God made him who knew no sin. Jesus Christ knew no sin. He never sinned. Why? To be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That through Jesus Christ said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. When Jesus Christ had died and the Holy Spirit was now going to be offered to those who came to true repentance, accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and willing to obey him. So he says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So through Jesus Christ, we can be made right through repentance. So as Jesus Christ hung on that stake, he loved righteousness. He loved obeying God. He loved having a relationship with the Father. He loved having a relationship with mankind. His death makes it possible for our sins to be forgiven upon godly repentance. We're going to look at a couple of scriptures before we dig into the meaning. But it says in Scripture that he bore or he bared our sins. Let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. His death makes it possible for our sins to be forgiven upon godly repentance. Our sins could be forgiven. Not that the law was done away. We'll talk about that here in just a minute. But 1 Peter 2:24 says, he himself bore our sins. Bore, bear means atonement. An atonement for our sins so that we could be made at one with God. Our sins. And his own body on the tree, or on the cross, on the stake, that we, having died to sin, we say, okay, the reason I'm getting baptized what Scripture says is we come to the acknowledge and understanding that we broke God's law, that we're sinners. We're sinners. We don't want to practice sin. We come to the understanding, I hate it. I want to do what's right. So it says, having died to our sins. I don't want to sin anymore. That we might live for what? Righteousness. We want to become like God. No, we are, it's not blasphemy. It's like God says, hey, you know, he gives us Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit. It's love. It's joy. It's gentleness. Kindness. Long-suffering. Right? You just, there's more. Fruit, that's what, if we say we have God's Holy Spirit, well, let's prove it in the fruits. Right? I have to ask myself that. And if we're not displaying those fruits, we need to stir up that Holy Spirit to be displaying those fruits. By whose stripes you were healed. So through Jesus Christ, by that crucifixion, by those stripes, says that we as human beings are healed by those stripes that he took. And we'll talk about what those stripes are here in just a little bit. And so we see that Jesus Christ, he didn't nail the law to the cross. He nailed the death penalty, eternal death, to the stake. We see that over in Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. Colossians 2:14. And we'll also read Romans 8:3 here in just a minute. So Colossians 2:14 says, Paul is saying, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. God's law is set in place, and anyone who disobeys that law, breaks that law, deserves death. We see that with Adam and Eve. Oh, the serpent says, oh, Eve, you won't surely die if you disobey God. No, your eyes will be opened, and you can decide for yourself what's right and wrong. No, disobey God. Disobey him. Eat of that tree. Eat of the tree where he told you not to do. And then so they did, both did. And then we see their nature has changed and they were kicked out of the garden. But having wiped out the hand, and at that point, we deserve death, right? And then we see at that point that Jesus Christ knew that he was going to come and have to be the Savior. He wanted to be the Savior. He chose to be that, willing to die for us that we might have life. Which was contrary to us, because our nature does not want to obey God's law. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. And Romans 8:3 says, for what the law could not do, so the law does not save us, it says that it was weak through the flesh. So we have God's law, and he shows us his law, and it's hard. It's hard to obey that law. That's why Jesus Christ was killed, because Satan had a hold of them. They didn't want to change their nature. They still wanted to do their will. They didn't want to listen to God, and so they killed him. And it says, and they through the flesh, that God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. So Jesus Christ condemned it. Some points to reflect on. Jesus Christ always had a relationship with his Father, as we see in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. He was connected with his Father, but he became our sin offering just before his death. He experienced what we experience when we sin. Separation from God and separation from one another. When you and I sin, we're separating ourselves from God. The death penalty is on us. And we have to be restored. We have to go before God and ask for forgiveness, ask for change. And if we've sinned against someone else, we need to make sure that we repair that by saying we're sorry and make the effort in trying to make that change. We understand that. And that's what is required. Jesus Christ experienced separation when all that sin was laid on him. Sin is destructive. Let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 53, because it tells us this. Isaiah chapter 53, we'll read three verses. This is talking about Jesus Christ. And Isaiah 53, verse 3, it says, he was despised and he was rejected by men. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And what does it say? It says, we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised. He was despised because of our sins. We don't want to hear what he had to say. We are still under the control of Satan the devil, who's the god of this age. Since Adam and Eve chose to follow his words, listen to him, we've had messages on that. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs. He has taken on our punishment and carried our sorrows. But he wants to make us whole. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God. Oh, smitten. He's like a disease. You know, we didn't look at him as the Savior. Unless God has opened our eyes to see that. Smitten by God and afflicted, he was humiliated. But he was wounded. Why? Because of our transgressions, because of our rebellion. He was bruised for our iniquities, whether we know we've sinned or not. And it says the chastisement, it means that agonizing torture, so that we could be restored, was for our peace. That was upon him. It says nothing to do here that say that God's law was done away with. Has everything to do with what we've done. Chastisement was for our peace, was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. 2 Peter, we just read, by his stripes we're healed, restored to have relationships. All we like sheep have gone astray. Astray from what? We followed Adam and Eve. We've all turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And Jesus Christ was willing to die for that. He was the one to redeem us, to buy us back at a very high price. Buy us back from who? Well, Satan is the one who is in here, who's deceiving us, deceiving the world. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the god of this world will deceive everyone unless they believe. The word believe is put God's words into practice. It's not just to believe and accept Jesus Christ and not do anything. Jesus Christ tells us that he did not come to destroy the law. And if you look up that word law in the Greek, it means the entire collection of the sacred books of the Old Testament. And that's blueletterbible.org. Who actually goes in and puts the accurate definition in. He says, I have not come to destroy them, I have come to fulfill them. That's Matthew 5:17. John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Right? I just had a conversation with one of you yesterday, and we were just talking about all the pain and suffering that's going on in the world. And we're just talking about, you know, in relationships and people that we know, and we're just looking at it, and it's all the pain and suffering is from breaking God's law. Adultery, it's ruined relationships, stealing from someone, they've lost their job. You know, you just look at all the pain and suffering. What's the core? What's the core? Why? It's because people are breaking a law, and they just can't see it. It's difficult to keep that law. And we have to come to understand that, because Jesus Christ is the one who wants to be sin for us. He's willing to pay that penalty and to help us to overcome. It says, if you keep my commandment, you'll abide in my love, just as I abide in my Father's love and keep his commandments. So we see in Scripture that it says we are to be like Christ, right? To be like him. Jesus Christ says, overcome as I overcame. And we know that he was tempted by Satan. And we know that Satan is the god of this world, so we also have to overcome his influences as well. So our sins were placed on Jesus Christ, right? He was sin for us. And because of those sins, there's separation. Just like when we sin, there's separation between us and God. Isaiah 59, since we're in Isaiah, let's go to Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. We go here quite often, but it fits very well here. That the Lord's hand is not shortened, Isaiah 59, verse 1, that it can't save us, nor is ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But he says, your iniquities have separated you from your God. It's your sins. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear you. So when all those sins were placed on Jesus Christ, he took those, he bore them so we could be atoned with God the Father, have a relationship with him, and he could help us to have a relationship with one another. He expressed the anguish of that separation from his Father and with others. So a question I have for you and I, as we tie this together, as we see that Jesus Christ never sinned, that God did, you know, there was a separation there just for that short period of time. And we'll talk about that. Why did that have to happen? Okay, there's a number of reasons why. We're going to hit on two of them today. Is one that I'm talking about now is to show us that sin separates us from God. He took on those sins. He's our high priest. He's our Lord and Savior. He's our King. He's our high priest. So do we express our deep feelings of separation when we sin? Look at all that Jesus Christ went through, and his focus was still doing the will of the Father. He shows us that when all this sin was placed on him, when God showed him that, you know, what separation was, for at that moment, Jesus Christ, being God in the flesh, experienced what we experience, being separated from God when we sin. Yes, we've been redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. He took on the death penalty. But we do accept him as our Savior, as I just talked about. Sin is destructive. It's divisive. It's painful to us and also to others. It separates us from God and one another. And Jesus Christ experienced that separation when all those sins were placed on him, when he took them. He said, I'm willing to die for you. I'm redeeming you. I'm buying you back. And when we look at that, when Jesus Christ cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? What else do we want to do when we hear those words? We see the expression, the anguish that Jesus Christ is crying out. Something for us to look at in our relationship and being connected to God who wants to give us life. Do we hate sin as much as God hates sin? It's a question that we can ask ourselves. You can go through Look up that word forsaken. It's in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. And it's all about the reason that God forsakes his people is because they disobey him, even in the New Testament. And he explains why. But Jesus Christ wants to repair that. So he came to experience what it's like to be human. Jesus Christ experienced everything that we experience. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 2. It tells us that he experienced what it was like to be human. Hebrews chapter 2. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren. He had to come and experience what we experience. That he might, why? Because that he might be a merciful and high priest. So he knows what we go through. He knows the struggles. He knows that there's separation. He knows that we need to be repaired to have a relationship with God. That Adam and Eve, when they were in the garden, took it upon themselves to go a different direction. That he might be a merciful and high priest in things pertaining to God to make propitiation, atonement, for the people's sins. So that we could have a relationship with God. Remember, our sins separate us from one another. They separate us from God. They destroy relationships with God and one another. And Jesus Christ displayed this anguish when, you know, our sins were placed on him. He experienced separation from the Father. Not because of his sins, because he never sinned, but because of our sins. That's what I see when I look at it through the scriptures. Hebrews 4, let's turn over there for our last scripture. We're here, and we read this last week. But God knows our weaknesses. He knows them. We're weak. Our nature's enmity against God. It doesn't want to obey God. We'll come up with anything and everything to do away with his law. It's our nature. That's why scribes and Pharisees, that's why they stirred up the people. They didn't want to obey God. So they killed him. Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Our weaknesses in obeying God, putting those two great commandments together, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's in the Old Testament. It's also in the New Testament. You put that into practice, we'd see a lot of change. But we'd come to see that, I can't do this on my own, without God's help. But it was in all points tempted as we are, but he was without sin, as it says. Then verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, or the throne of favor, however you want to say that, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, to help us to overcome, to help us to be like Christ, as the scriptures tell us. So the words of Jesus Christ, my God, why have you forsaken me, should be on our minds as well when we sin. And we should be stirred up like Jesus Christ was stirred up. I do not like this. I do not like this separation. Because when we separate ourselves from disobeying our Father in heaven, we should want to restore it. Jesus Christ paid that penalty for us. He came to this earth. He humbled himself. He suffered, willing to die, to take away that death penalty so we could live and change and put on righteousness through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I hope that those words today were helpful. We've gone through four of those statements. We have three more to go. So we will continue with this. And maybe if you have any questions, please let me know. We can discuss it. And I will also wrap everything up into one at the very end as well.